Let's start the racing rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Good morning. It's Dan Malicki here, replacing just for this week and next week. Warren's enjoying a couple of Sundays off, which he thoroughly deserves. And Brendan Delaney, likewise, is enjoying his Sunday morning off as well. So Stephen Arnold joins the panel this morning. Dean Lester is the common denominator on Correct Weight, who's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed again this morning to review a pretty good card at Caulfield, but an interesting card just the same, Dean, when the horses start leaving the fence by about race number two. You know you're in for a tough day. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Dan. You can tell who the successful punters are on Correct Weight, can't you? They're on holidays. I'm still chugging along here. Look, it was an interesting day of racing. And I think the biggest challenge for the punters yesterday was that we had a soft six track and prediction of rain and very little rain and a lot of wind, which actually dried the track out. So you saw horses like Streets of Avalon, who ran really well, come into play, whereas going into the meeting, you were probably thinking, oh, this might get too wet for them, but they've got to kick off somewhere. So I think that was the biggest challenge to adjust to yesterday through the afternoon.
It's been one of the big challenges, and I know I've heard it mentioned many times from the Weather Bureau through the COVID period, because there's not enough planes in the air. They're not getting enough information to get the accuracy of weather forecasts. Now, whether you believe that or not, I've heard that a number of times. And when you're doing your form, and I'm totally with you, I had my goalpost somewhere between a soft five and a heavy nine, and it's very difficult to adjust to. And probably what even makes it more difficult is on a rail placement of 4 metres, the horses are coming off the rails very early on in the program, which, as I'd mentioned, it even makes it more challenging. But there were not one horse that led yesterday was able to win. And even in the small field races, it was the outside barriers that were winning them. And I think Wicklow Town won from seven. Otherwise, they were the widest barrier draws we've probably seen win at a metropolitan track for a long time. You there, Dean?
Yes, Dan, and then you get the little kicker of Damien Oliver getting up on the inside and winning the Mayor's race, just to add a little bit of confusion to the day.
Yeah, well, I think they just left such a big gap. He had no other option but to go through on the inside. And joining us this morning is 21-time Group 1 winning jockey Stephen Arnold. I hope that's right. I'm getting that off the racing.com site. I'm happy to give you a few more if you want me to, Steve. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Dan. Morning, Dino. Good day of racing yesterday. And, I had a few thoughts about that track. I didn't... just to the eye, I didn't think it was actually, the fence was quite as bad as sort of it played, but interesting to see your thoughts through the meeting.
Well, from the jockey's perspective, and look, you get people having a bet, and Dean just brought up the plaquette race with Damien Oliver. Sometimes when the jockeys get away from the fence, there's no other option. You can't come wider. You're almost forced to come to the inside, and in the end, that was the difference. If plaquette... I would imagine if the leader, Miss Albania, stayed on the rails, Plaquette may not have got to it because it would have had to come around it. So as a jockey back in the field on a horse that might be travelling that good, you nearly have to take the shortcuts, don't you?
Yeah, exactly right. It just played. I don't know if it was drying out a little bit towards the end of the day, but once the jockeys sort of thought the fence was off, they really avoided it. And just to the eye, I mean, race seven, I think the leader stayed fence hard up and finished second. So I just didn't think the fence was quite as bad as they rode it.
Okay, you're suggesting maybe some of those jockeys overdid it?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see the wind. I didn't see the ground. So I can't make a fully informed decision. But I just thought a couple of the horses still run well on the fence without winning. But not sure it was quite as bad.
Okay. Well, the feature event for the day, guys, was the Group 3 Bletchingley Stakes. Sansom has been a terrific horse. Philip Stokes and Ben Allen, who's got a wonderful record on Sansom, coming from the back of the field, relatively unwanted by punters, although it was a tricky enough race, starting at $17, coming from the back to win fresh.
They're homeward bound in the Bletchingley Stakes. Astrologist, the front runner, leading. Streets of Avalon coming off the bit. Red Can Man poised. Then came Assyria, in Order of Command, swinging to the centre. The widest runner, Samson, and Vera Dean now coming to be the deepest. Streets of Avalon's Brave. He's moved up to the Astrologist. Red Can Man having a crack at the pair. Wider out, Samson. It's Red Can Man going up to Streets of Avalon and the Astrologist. Order of Command got cut out for a run, and Samson's coming fast. Samson after Streets of Avalon, Streets of Avalon, Samson, nothing in it. Streets of Avalon with Samson putting in a late dive. Third prize, I'm not sure, Assyrian Vera Dean, and back to the inside, Red Can Man. They were being followed behind those by the...
Well, Dean, by this time of the day, I guess there was an expectation the winners were coming down that section of the track, but Streets of Avalon, who we respect and love in a way, was up on speed and so brave, and it was actually only in the last bound that Sansom put in this huge lunge.
Yeah, it needed every bit of that bound that you talk of, Dan, to get Streets of Avalon right on the line. He was... very good, Sansom. A bit of a reinvention of him, as heard from Philip Stokes, that they announced before the race they were going to ride him a bit quieter, and he just got a beautiful toe into the race. Streets of Avalon, that's what you just come to expect from him. As long as he gets the ground he can excel on, and that was good enough for him yesterday. Assyrian, the Astrologist, Viridine. Viridine, the best last 200 of the meeting, but it's a bit of a recurring theme with Viridine. He's doing that, but not quite winning. Red Can Man, I thought, was only just fair, and Order of Command was the one that was building momentum and got stopped in his tracks late. A couple of genuine good runs right out the back. Secret Blaze, second best last 200 of the meeting, and even Brave Song for a handicap. They both went okay, even though they were out the back.
Steve, from Dean had mentioned Vera Dean, bit of a challenging ride because he gets back in the field and he's sort of taunting punters because he's running well. But and really, yesterday's track you would have thought may well have suited him, but it's still the Caulfield Straight wasn't long enough for him. Those sorts of horses, have you ridden those types before? And, you know, what has to play out for them to win?
He had a pretty good, you know, pretty good setup for him yesterday. He was just off the winner, Samson, who actually had a better run. He had cover and had a beautiful run down the side. I thought Benny Allen gave him a really nice ride. Streets of Avalon was up, obviously doing what he does, and Viridine back, as I say, back with Samson. I just thought he, at the moment, he's lacking that killer punch when he needs it at the 400 metre mark. He's hanging in there, and then sort of, I suppose, in junk time, the last 50 metres, he's holding on and making ground and only being beaten a length. But just when he needs to win the race, he can't seem to put him away.
Red Can Man bounded it in the air at the start. It was only a minor, but is that? I mean, Streets of Avalon was up on speed, so you can't make excuses for anything else that was up on speed that didn't perform. Maybe the edge out of the track could have been the difference. How did you sum up the ride on the favourite?
Yeah, no, I didn't see any problems with the ride. Had a pretty good run, and I thought, yeah, maybe slightly disappointing. I heard Terry Bailey said just, you know, when they're in the barriers, that the wind may have dropped a bit at that stage, so it gave them on paces, you know, it gave them their chance. The Astrologist run really well up to that grade, and obviously, as we said, Streets of Avalon on pace still run well, so there was no reason those horses on speed couldn't run well.
And Dean, how much do we trust that form or the racing pattern out of yesterday? Are we more forgiving for horses that were up on pace?
I think in certain aspects of the day, Dan, yes. As Steve said, probably this race, I think the wind had dropped, and I think the leaders had their chance. And, you know, look, it'll be interesting to see where these horses go. I think Sanson's going to the Lawrence, as Philip Stokes mentioned. But, you know, I would think a horse like the Astrologist, he goes to the Ori Star in a couple of weeks, he'd be awfully hard to beat back down the straight. And, you know, Streets of Avalon will go to the Lawrence. And, you know, I think they'll go different paths, but there'll be certainly winners come out of this race. Whether they get to a race like the Memsie. I think Red Cam Man's now looking for the 1400, so that might be a plus for him going up in trip. Maybe he stayed at the sprint trip one run too many.
All right, well, the day kicked off with the staying race. It was the Vobis Gold Stayers. Just the field of six here, and it was Royal Crown who'd been racing really well with that form line through Grand Promenade, and he got the job done to start off the day well for most punters as he started $3.40 second favourite.
Alvita Zane last of all. Cakewalk Baby on the bend in front. So able to nick away and reflect the stars on the scene very quickly. Rounded the 2 litres up. Here comes Royal Crown. Mahamadeus flat-footed looking for a run. Reflect the stars has hit the front. Royal Crown the pursuer. They're battling it out. Mahamadeus over a length away from Alvita Zane. Reflect the stars and Royal Crown. Reflect the stars just in front. Royal Crown having a shot. Royal Crown put his head in front of Reflect the stars and Royal Crown won the opener from Reflect the Stars, Alvita Zane and Mahamadeus, and then came...
Well, he's in terrific form. He's had a thorough prep this time, so he was rock hard for yesterday, Dean, and it was a pretty sweet ride. It pretty much all unfolded for Damien Thornton there.
Thornton unfolded. I thought it was a beautifully constructed ride, Dan. Early in the race, he protected his territory, which made Cakewalk Baby go forward, which is foreign to her. He had Mahamadeus to his inside, so he knew where that horse was. He had Reflect the Stars take him into the race. So I would have thought he had nearly a three-vote ride straight away. It was a beautiful ride. And also in the post-race interview, Damien mentioning that he didn't think the horse ran the 2800 ride out last week. Well, he runs 24 well. He won the Galilee final at this track and distance last year, and he did enough to beat Reflect the Stars. That's about her. I think had the rain come, Avita Zane would have beaten them both. That's as dry as he wants it. He ran really well. And Mahamadeus, Steve, he was just blinkers back on. He was very keen at the slow pace and then left a bit flat-footed and not a lot of room. He ran okay, but he's just not quite the horse he was.
I think a bit of the speed come out of the race, didn't it, Dino? And there wasn't much intent from any rider to be positive. And as you say, it looked a pretty straightforward sort of a race, but I thought just a couple of little subtle moves from Damien Thornton in the first part of the race made the difference. As you said, he just kept Cakewalk Baby wide, and with a small field, everyone had got their spot, so Poi was always going to be forced to roll on, and that just gave Damien the run behind Reflect the Stars, who was always going to take him into the race. And just the sort of the other part of that, he was able to keep those runners sort of back to his inside. I think Craig Newitt's horse was probably a slightly unlucky, just held up when Damien was able to roll into the race. So I thought it didn't look like much, but just a couple of subtle little moves. Great ride, Damien Thornton.
Race two, King Magnus made it back-to-back with Alana Kelly. Looked like she was in a world of pain halfway up the straight, but that last 200 seemed to take forever and gave the opportunity for the horse to get out and then just put a gap on them over the last 20 or 30 metres. King Magnus winning race two.
In the stretch, Great Again on the outside moved up to Mr. Exclusive. A length and a half to Viral. They were followed by the Inevitable starting to run on. King Magnus needs room. They're at the 200. Great Again, the leader. Mr. Exclusive coming back. Viral, the Inevitable running on. Great Again on one rein. Mr. Exclusive fights back. And here's King Magnus, the king over the top. King Magnus sprinted quickly and got up to win. From a photo between Viral, Mr. Exclusive, and in between the pair, Great Again, then the Inevitable. Why choose her?
Well, I think punters that might have backed King Magnus were panicking, Steve, but Alana Kelly wasn't. And it's amazing that she still got what seemed like an eternity to then balance up and finish off after being held up for most of the way up the straight.
Yeah, she's really improved as a rider, Alana. I think she's riding great at the moment, probably the most improved and probably the best 3 kilo claimer at the moment. I think she's riding great. She just gave that horse a nice, easy ride through the first part of the race, and I think the important part was that early stages. Great Again rolled on with Mystic Exclusive and Viral. They held their ground for that furlong, which generated a fair bit of pressure into the race. Great Again sort of led the leader, which isn't a great spot to be in. He was a little bit keen, and that just forced that pressure. And I thought they did a good job in the straight to be still battling away, but they'd sort of punched each other up through the run, and then Alana was able just to come off their backs and be really strong late. So it was a good ride. It was a really good ride, but I think the second, third, and fourth horse really run well as well.
Dean, what was your take on race number two? There's a few horses there that probably would have expected more of. Great again, although up on speed with the blinkers. The inevitable question mark as to where he was at, and even Dark Dream for that matter.
Yeah, probably need to see Dark Dream again, Dan, on the bit of a comeback after that trip or the career in Hong Kong. But I thought Great Again, well, two things. I thought it'd rain and it'd be closer to heavy. And the other thing was that I thought Great Again would get a pretty easy lead. They announced that Mr. Exclusive would be ridden closer. That's fine. But Viral certainly hadn't shown any intent of these last two runs. But yesterday there was a real intent to put him forward. And that just made Great Again work across and do a little bit and have him a little bit fired up in the blinkers. And as Steve said, it was a long watch if you're watching the two leaders, because they were hanging in there and they were doing their best, but you just felt something was going to come out of the pack. And when it was King Magnus switching across heels and with 51 on his back, he was always going to hit the line. He's got a great winning habit. That's the other thing. Once he gets into a spot, he can win a race. And yesterday was his biggest margin, really. He really put it away well, and maybe that really suited him, just being ridden that pair further back. A little bit through accident, but it might suit him even better.
Why choose her? Well, she was held up the whole way up the straight. Did she have much more to give?
Enough to give to probably nearly run into the placings. I don't think she'd have got out and run home like King Magnus, but she was certainly going well enough that Maddie Cartwright asked the question before the turn to try and get out underneath Viral there, and Viral just held Why Choose Her in the pocket. So, when a jockey, Steve's asking a question like that, he obviously thinks he's got a bit in the tank to give, and he just didn't get that quiet room that he needed.
And Craig was sort of quiet onto it on Viral. He was he could see Matty was going quite well and held his line, which he's entitled to do. But he probably thought he was going to hold the line and be the winner. And then as we seen King Magnus just come off their backs, and that pressure told on the leaders early, and he was really strong.
Well, the pressure told on the leaders in the third. It was a good race to watch. They were well strung out. It looked like a pretty good field of young horses, and it was the horses drawn wide and out the back that came over the top in the Vobis Gold Ingot Race 3.
On the corner, Lord Paramount about three quarters in front. Pounding hasn't got much idea, but he's moved up and he's about to hit the lead. Two lengths away, running on Cherry Pick. Sunfall's coming around heels and he's about to charge home, and Umgawa's coming down the outside. Pounding's hit the front, Sunfall, and here comes River Views. River Views with a mighty run over the top, moved up, hit the lead, and River Views races on to win from either Sunfall or Umgawa. Nothing in at second and third, Pounding fourth. Swears.
Genuinely run race, but the winner just let down with an incredible burst. Was it flattering because of that speed, Dean, or is he just a horse that's now fulfilling his earlier potential?
You've probably got to have the talent to do it, and a change of tactics certainly helped, and a good speed certainly did help. I was giving Lord Paramount a good chance, and he began well, and then he wanted to run, and only having his second start, his inexperience really kicked in. He was just going too keenly, and that meant that the race was run at a good speed. And for two-year-olds at 1400, they strung out over a lot of territory, and ultimately those that were back in the field were the ones that were able to really charge through. Sunfall looked like the stablemate, looked like when he cut through the pack, he was going to be the winner, but it was left to Umgawa and then ultimately River Views down the outside to get the money. I thought the run of Pounding was very good because he did ride that good speed and was still tough enough at the finish. But, it was a really good win by River Views. And as you said, his early season trial form suggested that he'd be winning a reasonable race. And yesterday he got that result.
Yeah, absolutely. Big win. And Umgawa coming from well back as well, Steve. A Sunfall from off the speed. They were all very good in a race that probably suited those that were able to come off the speed. It looked pretty genuine a long way out.
Moses, didn't it? I think Lord Paramount, as Dino said, just fired up a little and just didn't get the rhythm of the 1400 as he needed. and he just pulled hard through the race, and that just strung the field out and made it a solid test for those two-year-olds going to the 1400. Riverview just ambled along at the back of the field. Not so sure of the sectionals, but he obviously galloped well, and taking nothing away from him, but I just think it was maybe slightly flattering how they really poured on the pressure and they were out on their feet at the furlong, and those closers come over the top. So excellent win, but I think it was probably set up for the closers, as we say, and as Dino said, pounding, I thought, was a good effort to hang on that firm speed.
Well, Peter Moody's always been a bit of a rap for pounding, Steve. He put the blinkers on yesterday, and he finds a race where he doesn't get as much pressure up on speed. He looks like a horse that would be pretty strong getting to 1600 and maybe even further.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's obviously got a little bit of stamina going on yesterday's run. And, you know, the two-year-olds usually going to the 1400, usually the tempo's quite soft because everyone's trying to get the trip. But it was just that Lord Paramount's fired up and over-raced, which strung the field out. As I say, generally the tempo's a worry, and they can go quite slow and sprint off it, which makes it hard for the back markers. But it was quite opposite yesterday.
Horse I thought was looking like the winner coming up to the home turn just didn't let down, and that was Rainier. Jamie Carr reported the horse was suffering from a respiratory complaint, and a post-race veterinary examination revealed a slow recovery. Dean, obviously something will play out there with the veterinary examination, obviously, slow recovery, but it did travel well. It looked like it was ready to pounce, and obviously at that moment when asked, it just pretty much stopped.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. And the thing was that early in the race, I just wondered where Jamie was going to go from the draw, but the speed was such that she was able to tuck in and go back and be sort of fourth pair, and even though three wide, just blending into the race, as you said, looked as though had plenty to offer, but soon as asked for that final effort, gave nothing. But a slow recovery, respiratory complaint, certainly they go into the forgive file, those sort of runners.
Race four, this was a good lineup of mares. It becomes somewhat of a tactical race because they were getting off the rails here. The fourth, this was over the 1100 metres, and it was taken out by Plaquette and Damien Oliver, daring to take the inside run.
Around the bend, Miss Albania about three off the rail, joined by Propel. Here comes La Mexicana down the outside. Plaquette's getting up on the fence from Absolute Flirt. It's out wide. La Mexicana going after Miss Albania, with Plaquette going right up on the rail. It's Miss Albania headed by La Mexicana, but Plaquette's got right up on the fence. Plaquette and La Mexicana. La Mexicana diving, didn't get there. Plaquette a nose La Mexicana, I fancy, in a photo from Miss Albania. Oliver was real happy to stay.
Well, if you're on Miss Albania there, being first up in front, I think you were a bit nervous when she'd come away from the rails. Obviously, Craig's looking for that better ground, and I'll direct this to you, Steve, but she just, the advantage that she seemed to have on a couple that were behind her was then negated. I mean, she was good, but by the same token, Damien, for him, there was probably only one option, and that was to dive back to the inside because there was a lot of room for him.
Yeah, for sure. I thought she ran really well, Miss Albania. As you said, her advantage was taken away a little bit. Like, you go to Caulfield, you know, you think around the corner, 54 kilograms, you've got the weight pull and probably the pattern where you're going to be in front, maybe following the fence around and skip away on the corner, and it makes it difficult for the other horses. But obviously, the ground wasn't perfect on the inside, so they're dodging that. And she just raced, I thought she was a little bit lost sitting out, and just made that little bit of difference around the corner, just slightly lost and didn't hit the line quite as well as she can. Ollie, obviously, very good ride. He, as I say, it probably wasn't quite the A ground, the inside, but it was his better option. Like, he was outside Jamie early, and then he cut back and stayed in. So if he sits outside her, he's covering, you know, a lot more ground, stays in, probably not A ground, but not poison, I think. So he sort of took the option to, you know, lose half a length probably on the ground, but save maybe a length and a half going around them. So very smart ride by Ollie, which isn't surprising.
No, and La Mexicana with a big weight as well. She was very brave. She underwent a vet's exam on arrival at the track after being agitated en route in the float. So, and she looks like she'll improve off that run. Dean, Plaquette, this might have been the line in the sand race where Plaquette's not really noted for being a wet tracker, and when she was able to win, albeit getting an unimpeded run through, it made you think that the track wasn't as bad as probably a lot of people had expected it to be.
Yeah, that's true, Dan, but the race structure had a lot to do with this. When Miss Albania's won her races, she's done her best work in the middle stages. The 800 to the 400, she's really ramped it up. Yesterday, she went from, thanks to daily sectional times, about 2.5 lengths below standard the first 300 to nearly 9 lengths below standard between the 800 and the 400, where she usually goes a plus figure. So she gave all those horses a chance to get on her back, and ultimately Plaquette was the only one from the 800 to the 400 to do some improving, so she was gradually building her momentum, and that's why Ollie just cut back to the inside, and it made the difference. And these races where there's that slowdown mid-race, often you wouldn't think it, but the horse from back at in the field would be advantaged, and I think that really suited Plaquette. La Mexicana ran really well, and I'm very forgiving of Miss Albania, because that's the way that she can be beaten, is that to go too slow mid race. But just back on the track, Steve, I was just going to ask you, with a day like yesterday, there was a bit of wind about. The early races, they open up the track, they get off the rail. Can that opening up of the track dry it out, and then they head back in later in the day?
That's probably what happened. And as I say, I don't think, because the rain didn't come, the ground obviously didn't get worse and maybe got slightly better. So I think that made the difference. And I think, as I said, I think it was race seven, Ashford Street led on the fence, and it was 16 to 1 or something and run second. So I don't think it was too bad. And just on that race yesterday, if you know you're going to get inside completely uninterrupted, sometimes you can creep through and completely uninterrupted run. It mightn't be quite A ground, but what you save, it's it evens out a bit, I think.
No doubt, with such a narrow margin as well. Guys, a bigger field went around in race five. It was a pretty strong benchmark 78, and it was a Wicklow Town and Billy Egan.
After last, Jittery Jack went to the lead on the corner. Shot two lengths in front. Promotions after it. Sessions rode on the fence. Wicklow Town sailing down the outside with some sort of a run from Scantuna. And then Just Folk. Promotions has hit the front. Wicklow Town a length away. Coming on Just Folk and Scantuna. It's Just Folk going after Wicklow Town. Wicklow Town just in front in the shadows of the post. Wicklow Town. Billy Egan loves this horse. He wins again on him. Went home to win it narrowly. Second, Just Folk from Scantuna. Promotions.
Yeah, I bet he loves him, but he's also probably not the easiest horse to ride by the looks of it, because Billy had mentioned that, but also got a suspension out of that race for careless riding. Billy suspended from midnight 25th of July until the 9th of August, so it sounds like a long spate, but they take in 10 meetings, but with no meetings over the next 5 days, he's actually out for a couple of weeks, Steve.
Bit of an unusual one. Obviously, we're not racing next week, so a bit of a long stint for Billy. Obviously, the horse isn't that easy to ride and laid in and caused a bit of interference, but I think this race was run a little bit similar to the last race. As Dino said, that mid-race slowdown, Wicklow Town was back in the field, and it didn't look like a great spot, but he end up from the worst, not the worst spot, but end up in not a great spot to being in a good spot, because he was able to, when that speed slowed down the side, he was able just to gradually build into the race. As I said, visually doesn't look great, but it's the ideal run for that sort of horse, because he's built into the race, the speed's come off, he's only two lengths behind them, or a length and a half as they straighten, and building momentum. So I think it was actually an excellent ride, Billy, to seize that opportunity of the pace coming off and just to build into the race. I thought Just Folk probably was in front of him and just waited for Billy to go and just lost that little bit of momentum. So I thought that was a really good run to finish second.
And NBeyond was unbeaten. It ran the favourite. It looked to have a decent enough run and was following the winner coming up to the home turn. But it might have looked a little bit disappointing, Steve, NBeyond, the Tasmanian horse.
It's chance, but it was actually, in that spot to finish, but just seemed to grind away in the straight.
Carlene Heffel was also suspended in that race, total of 10 meetings, 1st of August to the 10th of August. Dean, there was a few horses to keep an eye out on here. Scarlett Tufty made the stewards report. I thought he was pretty good. He travelled really nicely in the run. Evening Glory was another one. There was probably quite a few here. You could go through this race, and given change of barrier draws, different track conditions, further improvement in fitness, it might be a good form race.
Recurring theme, Dan, in the 78s, they're pretty evenly graded, and it comes down to run-of-race stuff. And a horse like Wicklow Town, Billy Egan explained in the post-race on racing.com that he's a little bit tricky to ride because he can be that bit slow to begin, and then you've got to get him into a spot and then sort of motivate him from a long way out. And that's I think they're a terrific breed, the Camford Cliffs horses, because they can maintain a long gallop, and that's what he did yesterday. As Steve said, he crept into the race, and then he kept going, and that's what he seems to really appreciate. There was a bit of interference back to the inside. I think with Ambeyond, he might just the 1400 might have pulled him up as much as anything. I think down the outside, Kaplumpich was better than he, obviously a lot better than his first up run, but it was encouraging. And I just think Severate's a dead set top of the ground horse, and if he draws a decent gate and reasonable ground in the next few weeks, a 1400 at Flemington or something, I think Seberate will be really hard to beat. And Global Gift's a bit of an enigma, but he wasn't that bad either yesterday. So, it was, as you said, I don't have a good form race, as in that they'll go to higher levels, but they'll find their own 78s and maybe win their races.
Sessions Road pulled up with exercise-induced pulmonary hemorrhage, so EIPH, after a post-race endoscopy, so that might be worth forgiving because he'd been going really well.
Had indeed. That was the first poor run of his career, and that certainly explains it away. And he was on that good speed early, and as Steve explained, they really backed it off in the middle stages, and then he couldn't pick up again. And those three that were in that battle early, even though they did get interference late, they were gone at the time. Jittery Jack, Sessions Road, Do You Reckon, all out the back.
And Scarlett Tufty, a horse I watched closely in the run there. He's a lovely type. He stretches out nicely. I mean, he never looked like he was going to win, but what did you make of his first up run in Australia?
I thought it was more than adequate. He got questioned in the stewards report about tactics, etc. there, and I think, I thought the two out wider were a touch better, but not by much, Kaplumpich and Seberate. But, it was an encouraging debut for him in Australia.
Okay, we'll come back after the other side of this break with the remainder of the Caulfield program to look at, including a replay of the Group 1 last night in England, the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock.
New on the Tab app.
T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
And they are the Derby winner. Strikes. Mishriff down the outside. Love can't immediately pick up as Mishriff moves to Adair, who still holds the advantage, and they're still two lengths clear from Love. A furlong and a half to go. Adair in the Godolphin blue. Mishriff in the maroon. Love still with a gap to bridge, and inside the final furlong, it is the Derby winner. Adair using this big stride to devastating effect. The first horse for 20 years to win the Derby, and then the King George. Mishriff, Love was left wanting in third. Lone Eagle and Broom next.
Gee, it was a pretty exciting race. So they seemed to run it at a genuine tempo. And, wow, this horse has really emerged. Did you get to see this race, Steve?
I did have a look at it. It's a great race, obviously, and really he's a beautiful type of horse, a winner. He's a lovely, big, strong guy. He was actually pretty keen through the first part of the race, and then he didn't seem to actually like the cover of the leader, and then once he got up outside the leader, he dropped his head and raced properly, and big, imposing guy, and good, strong galloper, and obviously top class.
The Godolphin blue to the fore again. William Buick, the jockey. Charlie Appleby, the trainer. And he's emerged. He's gone on since the Derby by the looks of it, Dean. And I know it's only been a short period of time, but he stamped his authority as being one of the best horses in Europe, I think, on that performance.
there's any doubt about that, Dan. As you mentioned, they ran a very good time. It was a really good, solid gallop the whole way, and he was just so strong. And it's great to see the Derby winner go on and win the King George and Queen Elizabeth. As the caller said, first time in 20 years. But yeah, I think for the breed, you want to see a Derby winner go on to win the straight away against the older horses. Love ran third. She's ticking over well. I think her grand final day will be the first week in October, so it's still a way to go yet, but she's ticking over pretty well also.
Yeah, beautiful looking horse is Love. And well, we lost Galileo last week, so we might have a replacement down the track with that AR, who was so powerful yesterday. We go from one 2,400 metre race to another 2,400 metre race, and this was the Kieran Ma Racing Premiership. For the 3-year-olds, it was race 6 at Caulfield.
Straight, Dubai Moon, Bow Thruster together on the fence exhibition. Crew Class coming with a cracking run on the outside, and Murrumbidgee River and Capricorn Ridge are running on. It's Dubai Moon in front, Crew Class coming at it quickly on the outside. Murrumbidgee River is just grinding at the moment. Crew Class for Yendall moved up to Dubai Moon, took the lead. Crew Class just in front. Oh, it's tight. Crew Class a nose on the line to Dubai Moon, but it's a thriller. Third of photo finish between Eco Warrior late Murrumbidgee River and
Crew Class. Dean Yendall took all the way up the straight to get a couple of outsiders here. Steve, like a nice staying type of horse, but an interesting tempo. It was probably going to make it hard at different stages in the race for those out the back, although in the end Murrumbidgee River looked to have its chance, the favourite, which was ridden by Jamie Carr running fourth.
Yeah, sort of a bit of a recurring theme. We're sort of talking about the speed was quite quick early. I thought through, you know, for that class of horse at that distance, they rolled along through the first sort of 2-3 furlongs, and then the speed really come off down the side. I'm not sure if it was the wind or whatever, but a lot of the speed did come off down the side in a lot of races, and from the 1,200 metre mark, 800, they really pulled up to a slow speed, which, as we've touched on before, gave those back markers a chance to really blend into the race. And I think Damien Thornton sort of made a decision on Equine Philosopher to get into the race, and that gave Dean Yendall a bit of a drag into the race, and he ended up with the right run to be able to just blend into the race uninterrupted down the side, and good strong win. I thought it was probably... I thought Dubai Moon ran really well, probably didn't suit when that tempo came off. He looks like a big strong galloper and would have preferred the tempo to just stay at an even rate, and I thought he ran well. Murrumbidgee seemed to have his chance. He was on winners back around the corner and just ground a little up the straight.
Worried about the strength of this form, Dean. Can you put it into perspective? The second horse, a maiden, had a hurdle trial. The third horse was 100-1. Where does it fit?
It fits, you know, I think this is where they're at. A bit of a bonus win for Crew Class at the end of the season, but basically, as you said, a maiden midweek standard at this stage, but they ran for the big money yesterday. The tempo was a really big key to this race because they'd got down to such a slow speed at the by the 1,000. The leader between the 1,200 and the 1,000, he ran 14.12, I should say, and then had to quicken up from the 8 to the 6 from 14.12 to 12.22. So even though it was a staying race, when they quicken that much, these horses, because they're stayers, they're supposed to be stayers, they actually sprinted quickly. They gas out just as quickly, and then it became just a slog. And, you know, we saw Crew Class. I thought Yendall was tremendous on this horse, just getting the best out of it. Dubai Moon had the big weight drop off. I know it was only a maiden, but did drop 8.5 kilos. And on these soft tracks, off-season, that often counts. I think Murrumbidgee River, and I think the best horse in the race is Capricorn Ridge. I just think he was left with too much to do, and he was one that had to sprint really hard to get into the race and ultimately gave out. But I think in a more evenly run staying race, he's a stayer of some promise.
Zar X had a tough run, but it was eased down in the straight. and Brett Prebble thought it might have been suffering from a respiratory complaint. Post-race endoscopy detected a throat condition, which may have affected the horse's racing performance. So a veterinary clearance will be required prior to Czar X racing again then. The favourite, was it in a winning position to finish off the race? I mean, it proved a bit of a handful for Jamie over the last few hundred metres. What did you make of it and potentially going forward as a stayer?
Yeah, it's got some future. Dan, as I said, I think most of these horses will funnel back to midweek grade, ticking over the end of the season. They've run in their three-year-old grade, and now they'll probably go back to the 64s and 70s that they're eligible for at midweek level. And, yeah, I think just a run at the trip will have suited Murrumbidgee River, going from 1,800 to 2,400, different tempos, different race shape. I think he'll be better for the day at the races. I thought he had a winning chance. I just think he was a bit short yesterday. I think punters gravitated to him a little bit hard, but he'll win his races.
Race 7 looked a pretty good lineup, a good bunch of three-year-olds, maybe an even bunch, but a pretty good bunch. And it was Sacred Palace, thanks to a good ride from Brett Prebble.
Back in the runners, Hickok on the inside. They were followed by the Big Easy. Well off those, far enough. And last of all, as they turn, is Tax Fee Profit in the straight. Holt the leader. Ashford Street went up on the fence. The Garden after the pair, and Sacred Palace starting to storm down the outside. Further back in the field, Stirred Up, and it's Sacred Palace moving up to the Garden and Ashford Street. Sacred Palace coming home the better. Took the lead from Ashford Street near home. Tax Fee Profit from a long way back in the field, but Sacred Palace is too good for them. Went on to win from Ashford Street. Third prize, the Garden. Hickok flying. Tax-free profit wide out. They were followed by Dick and Medal. Then,
gee, there was a scream in the background. Sounded like someone was getting attacked there just past the line, Dean.
Well, they're very happy with the result, one or the other. But Sacred Palace, I thought it was a beautiful blending ride by Brett Prebble, using the track really well. As Steve's mentioned a couple of times, Ashford Street was down to the inside and ran well with the lightweight here off that win at Casterton. And I think he would have appreciated the rain to come through the day. The Garden, on a fairly quick backup, was quite a good run. Hickok was on a quick backup, ran okay. These horses just trying to get that last bit of three-year-old racing into them. I think the real forgive run in this race was Stripped Back. I think he showed his inexperience yesterday back to the inside, just seemed reluctant behind horses, and then he was tightened from the outside in, and I thought he probably showed his inexperience. In the first starter, Holt showed a bit of speed and wasn't too bad. The Big Easy had a bit to do and got held up, maybe a forgive run there. But Sacred Palace, Steve, Brett Prebble, you've done a lot of riding with Brett over a long period of time. Just seems to have that aggression in the eye of the tiger back at the moment.
Yeah, he's working really hard, Brett, and he's obviously a quality rider. So he's, as I say, he's working hard, and he's very competitive and loves riding a winner. And I thought he'd give this horse a beautiful ride. The tempo didn't look sort of really quick early. They looked to go just even, and Brett just got into a nice spot. You know, the 1200 at Caulfield, it's just a nice spot to have a little bit of cover, and he just cut inside one and end up on Craig Williams back around the corner and was able just to blend into the race beautifully. I thought the Garden, just with that speed not stretching the field out, just got caught in an awkward spot. He was wide, no cover, and I thought his run was excellent. And obviously back to the inside, there was a couple of good runs as well, but I thought, yeah, the story of the race was Brett Prebble's ride, and nice smooth ride and good solid win.
Yeah, for Lindsay Smith, trainer too. He does look an exciting horse with a barnstorming finish. Wasn't the only one with a barnstorming finish, taking out a race at Caulfield yesterday. The Big Easy was well in the market. I'll ask you first, Dean, do we forgive? It looked like it was going okay but slightly held up, and then when the opportunity came, there was nothing there.
Yeah, he's a horse that builds his speed, Dan. He can't afford to get stopped like that, but he's been racing since the summer, so they've done an amazing job to keep him up. You just wonder if, you know, they've run him through to the 3-year-old season, whether he's got that much left in the tank at this stage, where a few of these are at least on the up. And I think, one, they've worked out how to ride Sacred Palace, back and strong late, and he's right at the top of his form at the moment. Probably can go into 4-year-old grade or, the benchmark grade now and still be able to win. I think there was an okay run there from a horse that I thought had battled at his two runs this time in and that was far enough. He had the blinkers on for the first time, and I think now that the three-year-old season's finished, he can drop back to a benchmark 64 or the likes or whatever he's eligible for and run very well.
And Steve, just to wrap up this race, because it does look like it's got a bit of depth, is there anything out of it that we should be following?
I think the winner's probably the one to follow, and I just thought the Garden, as I say, just with the bunched up field early, just didn't get that chance to slot into a spot and was sort of exposed early, no cover and wide on the bend. So I thought that was a real run third, so I wasn't a forgive, but I thought it was an excellent run and could kick back next start.
Okay, well, the last event on the program, talk about barnstorming finishes. We've already looked at race 8, of course, with Sansom earlier on in the show, but our Pretty Princess, there was a little bit of a nibble at odds, and if you were on coming around the home turn, you'd think she needed another lap, but she finished like a rocket.
Princess Last Diamonds in the Sky sets them ablaze. Comes to the bend leading two lengths. Moving up, Zoodancer the outside. On the fence, Miss Divine M, Belle CL, Sugartown behind those. Zooming Zebra, Bob's Relish, and then Safe Passage, Bubbly Lass weaving a passage. Well in the straight, Diamonds in the Sky down by the 300. She's two lengths in front of Sugartown going after her. Zoodancer battling away on the fence, Zooming Zebra. Here comes Bubbly Lass with a mighty run down the outside. Sugartown's hit the front, Bubbly Lass the challenger, Bubbly Lass. Our Pony Princess will beat them all. Our Pony Princess out of the grounds, beaten Sugartown or Bubbly Lass. Close up is Zoodancer. Then
wasn't the only horse to come from last on the turn yesterday, but wow. Terry Bailey, I think, represents us all there by identifying her in one fell swoop. She's gone from about sixth to knowing for sure she would win the race. She was jet-propelled, Steve. T.O. Nugent was pretty much just once he stoked her up and got her going, he was a passenger, because if that gap had a close late, he would have been in awful trouble.
Yeah, it was a spectacular ride, wasn't it? He sort of had to use a bit of imagination early. He was obviously drawn wide and just rode quietly and cut back to the inside, and was actually, as we spoke about, I don't know if it's probably started to dry out a little bit towards the inside by then, because he was actually quite close to the inside around the corner and then came out and got that split about 100 metre mark, and as you say, burst through and a good solid win from the back. Obviously, I thought they went reasonably quick through the first half of the race, so that gave him the chance to ride quietly and be strong late over the top of him. I thought Mickey D was a really good ride on the second horse. He had a nice resting run through the early part and had to sort of cut through the field, and thought he presented the horse beautifully at the 100 metre mark and was just beaten sort of by not a fluky run, but just a sort of an extraordinary run by the winner.
Safe Passage was eased down over the concluding stages. However, the report of the filly suggested did not appear to have any problems on returning to the mounting yard. So stewards are going to follow up with the stable there. It obviously seemed below par. Dean, it looked a pretty good three-year-old fillies race, and there were a number of good runs out of the event.
I think so, Dan. The winner was spectacular, and Bubbly Lass is just so deserving of a win in this grade. She keeps running well, and she'd actually got a bit of separation on the winner at about the 300, as Steve said. It was a really well-constructed ride by Mickey D, and just wasn't able to get the prize. Sugartown ran well, and I think Zoodancer's the one I want to follow. I think a bit better ground, 1,400. She'll win a good race in spring. She's the one that some of these will be, they're good off-season fillies, but she's the one that will develop into a pretty good class mare in the next 6 weeks.
The winner, was that a surprise? You've seen enough of her. She'd been pretty consistent, but she was up in class. Was that or a surprise on your behalf to see the way she firstly attacked the line, but also was able to cope with the step up in class?
I thought she could probably win one of these races, but I wouldn't have thought she'd win it that spectacularly. And I think that the other thing is that this time of year, being hard fit, she's raced right through the winter season, and that counts for a lot. And Bubbly Lass was the same. Sugartown's had sort of interruptions, but starting to get really fit. And Zoodancer and Diamonds in the Sky, they've ridden the speed, but they were both first up. so that they've, you know, probably got targets further down the track, especially Zoo Dancer. So, and Aleedy ran on okay for a first up runner, but race fitness, I think, probably helped a fair bit there.
All right, well, I'll give you a chance to collect your thoughts, guys, for the run of the day and your horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
Steve, I'll come to you first. On a day where there was just a couple of reminders that perhaps the spring horses aren't that far away with the Bletchingley Stakes and the horses that are going to go on with it, but some nice mares, some pretty handy two-year-olds, decent three-year-old field, and obviously some good fillies in the last. So firstly, what do you think was the highlight of the day, the run of the day?
Probably along the lines of Dino a little bit. I like the run of Zoo Dancer. I just think building into those races down the track, I thought she was an excellent run on speed first up. I think a lot of improvement there. And another one to follow, I thought Miss Albania, I thought that was a really good run, just didn't suit her being, you know, she couldn't use her strengths is the best way I think I could put it. So I thought they were a couple of to follow.
Okay, yeah, both pretty good fillies and mares there. What about you, Dean?
Well, yeah, don't have a lot to add, Dan. I would say that in isolation of performance of the day, I think King Magnus's finishing burst there was outstanding, and he's in great form, so I'd go with him of the run of the day. But Zoo Dance is definitely the one I'd like to follow, and I reckon that a race like the Let's Elope early in spring. She's won a Vanity at 1400 at Flemington. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the sort of race that she could win early in spring.
Okay. Week three racing. I'll get your opinion, Steve, from the jockey's perspective, and a jockey that had to work pretty hard to ride at a higher weight anyway. A week off, what would that have presented to you? Would you just have to work harder? I mean, I imagine you'd still be doing some track work or the like. How would you have been placed to not be riding for 5 days? That's on race day, of course.
Yeah, it was probably the time when I'd had a break and it was just probably getting back into it. So I, at this time of year, I probably prefer the races to be on. But I mean, it's I haven't got all the information about it. But I'm not sure who it benefits the most. There's probably a little bit of a headache for the trainers. There's probably a bit of a backlog of horses and that sort of thing going on. And you know, the jockeys, if they want to take a break, they can take a break when they want. I suppose they're self-employed, so I'm not sure who it benefits the most, to be honest.
It's funny, the horse I've got and the update I got from the trainer guys were like this, was that the horse is ready to go, was going to pick a jump out or a trial for him this week, but of course there's no trial, so one extra week of training fees before we can trial. So we've timed that really well, Dean, but that's the way it goes. I'm sure I'm not in the same, not the only one in that boat.
There's that, and there's cramming for races, like because there was no, I've got a horse going to Warwicknabeal today, and that's at a pretty decent expense because there's no racing through the week, and he's ready to go. So you're getting that, you'll have a backlog next week, and there's a few just trying to cram runs in this week. So look, I think it'll be tinkered with. I think, if you're trying to, train, as Steve said, jockeys are self-employed. Trainers and staff have still got to work the horses. The trials are imperative at this time of year with regard to spring horses. So them being lost this week is a real negative. I think maybe, I know Sundays are good revenue days, but, whether we have three or four Sundays in a row off over July, or conversely, we have three of the four Sundays in July as jumps meetings because we're really into the jump season. I think Pakenham was a raging success last week, and if we had one at Warrnambool, one at Pakenham, and like today at Sale, something like that might work. But I think it'll be tinkered with. I don't think, I don't think not being able to trial, I think that's a real, real downer for, those horses trying to get ready for spring.
Well, I'm sure you're right. At least it's brought it up as more than just a talking point, and I'm sure it will be tweaked. Big cards today. They'll be nearly in the mounting yard, won't they, for the first at Sale. 10:45 there, the first event, and another 10 races at Warwicknabeel. So it starts pretty early. Matt Nevitt will be on board shortly with all the experts' selections. 20 races to deal with today, and then you've got 5 days off, although you'll be doing some form probably come Wednesday, Dean, for the meetings next weekend. So, with that in mind, 20 races today. Is there anything out there that you're suggesting to our listeners they should be having something on at either of the two venues today?
I think we'll go at Sale with race 6, number 5, I'm a Bronco. I thought the debut run was very good and looks very well placed there. And at Warwicknabeel, we'll go race 4, number 5, Lunchtime Red. I just think gave away too big a start on a leader's track at Cranbourne first up. I think second run for the Elton Zara stable will be very hard to beat race 4, number 5.
Okay, so they're the two at Sale, race 6, number 5, and at Warwicknabeel, race 4, number 5, the best from Dean Lester. Guys, thanks very much for this morning. Steve, 21-time Group 1 jockey, great to have you on board and getting your insight from Caulfield yesterday. Look forward to doing it again with you soon.
For that.
Steve Arnold there, and Dean Lester. I'll be back on board with you for next week. We'll be reviewing Moonee Valley. Pakenham's the provincial meeting for next week. Enjoy today and potentially a few days off for you, Dean.
Dan, it'll be good to be back at the Valley next Saturday. We haven't raced there since William Reid Stakes Day back in March. So pristine ground, and looking forward to getting back to the Valley on Saturday.
Dean Lester and Steve Arnold there on Correct Weight this morning. Well, good luck with all of your selections today. It's a big race day. We're only 45 minutes away from the first galloping event in Victoria, which is at Sale. Matt Nevitt will be up next, looking ahead to all of today's racing venues. Have a great day.